Please hold your calls. We have with us this evening Lindsay Williams. And Lindsay was a chaplain on the oil pipeline that was built up on Prudhoe Bay back in the early 1970s. And he has an amazing story to tell. And those of you who have not heard him before and his story of the energy non-crisis, I think will be fascinated by our program tonight. On another book he has written called The Syndrome of Power. Lindsay, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on your program tonight to deal with a subject that positively is not illusion. My book, Syndrome of Control, was written as a result of my literally being there, sitting in the board meetings, rubbing shoulders with those who are the most powerful, controlling, manipulative people on the face of the earth. And after 3 years of being with these people, I felt that I had a moral obligation to tell the American people and the world how they think, the mindset, how these people, it's difficult for the average American to understand how anybody could be so diabolically wicked and could control nations and presidents and currencies and in the way that they do. And that is what the book of Syndrome of Control is about.
All right, fine. Of course, why don't you, for our listeners who do not know you, why don't you give them the background of how it was that you happened to be sitting at the board meetings of these various great oil companies that were involved in building the pipeline. Now, you had actually, as a chaplain of the Lord, and you'd been sent up there by your church to work with these people. And there were about, 25,000 men working on the pipeline?
Yes, I was a missionary in the state of Alaska in 1970, and that was the year that they announced they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. That's the biggest and most expensive project ever undertaken by private enterprise in the history of the world. $12 billion was spent in 3 years' time by nine major oil companies that went together to form Alyeska Pipeline Service Company. And I went to the oil companies and I said, 25,000 pipeliners, surely you must need a chaplain. And at first of all, they laughed at me. They said, we never had a chaplain on any pipeline in the world. We wouldn't know what to do with you. And I said, well, no problem. Just allow me there, and I'll make my own way. Well, finally, after many, many visits, they said, okay, we'll give you the Prudhoe Bay area. Now, that's where the big oil field is, right on the Arctic Ocean and down to Galbraith Lake, where the Brooks Mountains are. And they said, we'll give you those seven work camps, and you just do what you can. Well, about 6 months later, Mr. R.H. King, the personnel relations man with Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, came to me, and he said, Lindsay, you are saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees, and he said, you're helping the atmosphere in the camps. We would like to give you executive status. We've just voted to do that, if you wish. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, we'd like you to go any place you'd like, see anything you want to see. We'll give you an executive pass. And we'd like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. Now, this was strictly the providence of God. There's no other way to describe it. I could not, if I had tried, had an opportunity to ever rub shoulders with the most powerful, controlling people on the face of the earth. The ones who control nations and currencies and presidents. And what I saw and heard for the next 3 years, as I stayed in the same dorms with and lived in the same area with and sat across the table from at dinner and sat in board meetings with these powerful men, and what I heard and saw changed my life. If someone had asked me in 1970, Lindsay Williams, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world, I would have laughed at them and said, who are you, a John Bircher? If someone had asked me in 1980, do you believe there's such a group of people on the face of the earth that control presidents and currencies and nations and congresses and governments? I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. I'll never forget one night. I had been in a board meeting that day. I'd rubbed shoulders with a number of these people. I had helped to host some dignitaries who came to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And that evening, I was so appalled at what I had seen. Now, mind you, I had been a Baptist minister for probably 25 years. And I went back to my dorm room that night. I laid down on my bed, looked up at the ceiling, and I said, oh, God, I can't believe that there's such a group of people on the face of the earth who literally control the world. And they do. They control there's nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by design plan. Even the oil crisis of today, it's not by chance. It's happening by design. I mean, this is not illusion. This is for real. There literally is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the entire world. You say, well, OPEC determines the price of a barrel of oil and therefore the price of that gallon of gasoline at the pump. No, they don't. OPEC doesn't have a thing in the world to do with that. The Arabs don't have anything to do with it. It's controlled by the people who sit behind the computers in New York and London every day and tell the Arabs what they're going to give them for that barrel of oil. And I just saw some figures that startled me this past week. It was said that any time gasoline at the gas pump goes to over $2 per gallon, the power controllers of the world are making $60 billion per year. Anytime it goes over $2 a gallon at the gas pump, $60 billion a year. And that is a form of taxation of the American people and the American economy. So the price of that gallon of gasoline at the gas pump is a form of taxation. Now, if they came in and said, we're going to tax you on your income so much and go give it to the World Bank, every one of us would protest. But yet, whenever they do it at the gas pump, we sit back and say, well, what are we going to do about this? Well, you say, Lindry, are you sure that these things are true? I lived it. I was there. I sat in their board meetings. I rubbed shoulders with them for 3 years. And therefore, I felt that I must tell it, and that's what is described in my book, Syndrome of Control. It is not fiction. It is fact.
Well, now, of course, didn't Congressman George Hansen give you some of that information? Congressman George Hansen was on the House Banking Committee, a senior member of the House Banking Committee. He served his state of Idaho for many years, and faithfully, he was an honest man. And of course, that's why eventually they had to destroy him, and the government did. They came up with trumped-up charges and sent him off to prison and tortured him for 10 years. And then at the end of 10 years, the Supreme Court said, oh, shucks, they had no authorization. Well, let's let him go. And remove the whole thing. They destroyed his health, his family, his finances. And then they said, gee, we never should have done it. Sorry, George, we'll let you out of prison now. But this is the way they operate. And he was tortured. He went to Congress and showed people the scars that he had on his body from the tortures and scared the rest of Congress to the point where so few of them are willing to take a stand because they realize that no matter what you do, they can get you. They can always change the laws. They can come up with a corrupt judge. You'll be attacked by the Wall Street Journal. You'll be attacked by the New York Times. And I can remember those articles in the Wall Street Journal. Most people think it's a conservative publication. It's an establishment publication, and they were attacked viciously, George Hansen. Why? Well, he was running for Congress after he'd been indicted. He almost won. In fact, I'm not sure they didn't rig the election because, after all, they had to destroy him because he had actually was talking about how the Iran hostage crisis had been manipulated. Why don't you tell what you have learned about this group and what Congressman Hansen wrote in your book? He writes a chapter on the Iran hostage crisis. Why don't you give the background on that, Lindsay?
Congressman George Hansen was still in the Congress of the United States of America, and it so happened that I was on a speaking tour in Texas, and Congressman George Hansen and I were speakers in some of the same conferences together. And one night, after we both had listened to each other's lecture and were making good friendship and were very pleased with what each one was saying, and Congressman George Hansen came to me and he said, Lindsay, I'd like to give you some information if you're crazy enough to put it in a book. I said, well, sure. Well, what do you mean? He said, well, I wouldn't dare write it for anything. But he said, if you're crazy enough to write it, I'll give it to you. He sat down with a tape recorder and dictated probably one-third of my book, Syndrome of Control, was literally dictated by Congressman George Hansen. And you're correct. Anytime they don't like someone, they don't like what they're doing, they find a way to destroy them. And this is the reason that so many people are afraid of them. And they can do this because the name of the game is control. It's not necessarily a matter of money. These people have all the money in the world. They could write $1 million a day for the rest of their life, and they still would have plenty left over. So what is it? It's a matter of control of people and manipulation of nations. And nothing happens in our government except that they control it. So, yes, Congressman George Hansen, that's exactly what happened to him. He was willing to tell the truth. He was a very honest man. And as a result, you will find some fascinating information that he gave in my book, Syndrome of Control.
All right, well, could you give us some examples of some of the things that he brought out? The thing that's so important is that he was a senior member of the House Banking Committee, and so much of what's going on all centers around money and banking.
It all centers around money. Let me give you one example that I think the average person in the listening audience tonight could very well relate to. Let's take, for instance, South America and the country of Brazil. Brazil, of course, was in the process of building Brasilia and developing their country, and the Amazon River Basin is there. And Brazil was having some real financial problems many years ago, and they needed a line of credit. They needed some money. So they went to the World Bank, and they said, we'd like to borrow so many millions of dollars. And so the World Bank said, oh, yes, we'll just be more than happy to give you a line of credit. Now, a line of credit from the World Bank is nothing but a computer entry which allows Brazil to spend so many millions or billions of dollars. But the World Bank said, sure, we'll be more than happy to give it to you, but we must have some collateral for that money. You may remember when you went down to borrow money on that house, and the bank said, yes, we'll loan you the money, but we must have the house as collateral until the day that you make the last payment, and if you default on so many payments, we'll take the house back over again and give you nothing for what you've already put into it. Well, Brazil said, sure, we'll be glad to give you some collateral. They were quite sure, as wealthy as they are, natural resources that they have, that they could do something about it. So they gave them, as collateral, the entire Amazon River Basin. Well, you guessed it. A few years later, exactly as the World Bank knew it would happen, because they knew the way the world economy was going, after all the other ones that control it, they said, Brazil said, we're giving out of money. We need a few more million, or a few more billion. And so the World Bank said, oh, yes, we'll just be more than happy to let you have it. But you remember that collateral you gave us on the last loan, which, of course, you can't pay off, and now you're asking for more? We'd like to take that collateral over the Amazon River Basin. Now, the World Bank got the Amazon River Basin, probably the wealthiest land on the face of this earth, with diamonds and gold and timber and everything imaginable, and rainforest, all the rest of it. And what did they give them for it? Nothing but a computer entry, a line of credit. And for that, the World Bank was able to take some of the richest land in the world, the Amazon River Basin. Now, this is the way they work. This is the way they're doing the United States of America right now. They're creating a crisis in oil and energy so they can raise the price to where they want it, so that they make so many billions more. The American people are bowing for it, and here at the gas pump, we are paying a form of taxation to the World Bank, for it winds up right in their pocket. The same thing that they've done all through time, a matter of control and manipulation of nations and currencies and people and presidents.
Of course, my view of what's going on at the present time is it's really an organized effort to impoverish the American people, because the American people, America, is the last point of freedom in the world, really the highest development of Western civilization. And, there is a plan. It is to redistribute the wealth of nations. And, of course, what nations they're talking about? Well, who wants to redistribute the wealth of Nigeria most of the African countries? The only country that really has a great deal of wealth and a really prosperous middle class is the United States. And so we're in the process of redistributing the wealth of the people of this country. And then, of course, as they run the prices up ever higher for gasoline and oil and natural gas. And we did a program earlier today where they're talking about the shortages of natural gas. It's gone from about $2, a thousand cubic feet, up to $6.50. And they're talking about going to $10 or $12 for that same thing within the next year or so. They're talking about oil going $50, maybe even $100 a barrel. And as we'll talk perhaps a little later, there is plenty of oil up in the North Slope, off the North Slope, at a place called Gull Island, and I've verified that fact. If you read Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis, he talks about this massive pool of oil off the North Slope around some place called Gulf Island. That part of the book was actually written by an executive from Atlantic Richfield, who they were punishing, that fired because he had let Lindsey Williams know what was up there. And then, of course, after this gentleman actually rewrote Lindsey Williams' book and put this material out, they figured it'd be far better off to have him on their payroll where they could keep him quiet than out telling the truth about the fact that they were hiding massive oil reserves. And so they took him back to, and gave him a job. But the story is so incredible, and I'm going to let Lindsey tell it, that I actually checked with one of the men he mentions. I will not mention his name, but I actually tracked down this oil executive who was there with Lindsey, and he verified everything Lindsey had said and said, I don't know why they haven't tapped that a massive oil reserve up there around Gull Island. But it's been there for 30 years. They know it's there. Why don't you tell that story, Lindsey? I think it's so important that people understand that this whole current oil shortage is contrived, and yet it would take, you know, another 5 years or maybe even 10 years to rebuild, put in the parallel oil pipeline and the gas line. We should have done it 10 years ago, but they've specifically blocked the development because they want the crisis, and I believe they want to impoverish the American people. But tell the story of Gull Island, would you?
It is a fascinating story. In fact, the only place on the face of this earth that you will find recorded and documented the story of Gull Island is in my book, Energy and On Crisis, because just after I saw it, it was classified. And here's the way it worked. I remember I walked into ARCO base camp one day, and Mr. Jim Lawler was standing there, and he said, Lindsey, would you like to see something interesting today? And I said, I surely would. I'm always interested in things exciting. And he said, come on, jump in the pickup truck, and let's go out to the place where they bring the big flotilla in every year, the big dock out towards the Arctic Ocean. And I said, fine. We drove out, and he looked at a little island about a mile and a half to 2 miles out in the Arctic Ocean. And he said, that's Gull Island. We've been drilling there. We know we have found something. We know the general area as to how big the oil pool is. He said, we're going to release some oil from that today, check the pressure, check the oil, chemical analysis. So at about that time, a big plume of this stuff went up into the sky. They'd burn it off back in those days. And he watched it for a few moments. The longer he watched, the more excited he got. He said, come on, let's get in the truck and head back to base camp. We went back to ARCO base camp, and here was Jim Lawlin, Ken Fromm, and a whole bunch of oil company executives standing around a table, and they were excited, looking at some documents that were coming in and maps and so on. And they didn't mind. Here, I was the chaplain. They were more than happy to have me come in and look. And I looked at, oh, my goodness, will they get excited. Finally, Mr. Ken Fromm looked over at me, and he said, Lindsey, we have just done it. I said, Ken, what have you done? He said, we have just struck the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth. He said, it positively is the largest pool of oil in the United States of America. And he said, look at all of this. And he began giving me all of these technical details that I didn't know a thing about as to perforation to the pipe and how deep it was and the pressure of the field and how much the oil could be refined here and yon and sulfur content and so on. And they were so excited that day they didn't know what to do. He said, Lindsey, we are energy independent. And that's the story of Gull Island recorded in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and not one drop of it is yet to be allowed to be brought to the American people while we're paying so much for gasoline.
And didn't Mr. Fromm actually write that chapter and then another chapter in your book later on after he was fired by the company?
Yes, he did, and we'll tell that story in a moment when we come back on.
All right, fine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Lindsey Williams, and Lindsey will tell you how to get these books a little later. But you need to get them. You need to understand that everything is manipulated. Everything is controlled. The plan to impoverish the American people, destroy the foundations of our freedom and our national sovereignty, and move us into the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And Lindsey, why don't you go ahead and tell the rest of the story of what happened that day?
Well, Dr. Stan, the story of Gull Island is a story that's fascinating in that just after we saw what I saw, I went back to my dorm room that night, and I thought, well, the first thing in the morning I'm going to get up and go back to base camp and look at the headlines on the newspaper. I'm quite sure it's going to be America is energy independent, the largest pool of oil around. I remember that morning I got up early, went to base camp. The security guard caught me at the front door. Just as I walked in, he said, go up to Ken Fromm's office and sit down. He said, don't talk to anybody. I said, what's the matter? He said, just go up there and sit down. In a moment or two, Ken Fromm walked in, and he closed the door and had somewhat of a frown on his face as he said, "Lindsay, I think I'd be very careful about what I say about Gull Island." He said, "We have just classified that information." He said, the oil will not be produced anytime soon. And he said, you better be careful about what you say. This can't be. I said, America can become energy independent. Let's build two more pipelines down that same corridor and provide the American people with what we need from our own soil at a good price. He said, "Lindsay, not now or anytime soon." Well, after the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline was over, I decided that a moral obligation that I had as a Christian, I must tell the American people the truth regardless of what it cost. And I wrote the manuscript to my book, The Energy and On Crisis. Well, just after it came out, it became a bestseller in a very short period of time. And Ken Fromm called me up on the phone one day, and he said, "Lindsay, I have just been fired from Atlantic Richfield." I said, "What? You're only a few years away from retirement, and they've fired you?" He said, "Yes, I've just been fired." And he said, "I am so angry at my company for what they've done." He said, "This has been a lifetime job." And he said, "I was the first one to help produce Prudhoe Bay and the first refinery up here." And he said, "I am so angry about this." He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He said, "There are a few little mistakes in your book, The Energy Non-Crisis, the first edition." And he said, "I want to correct every one of them. I'd like to rewrite that book for you and make it picture perfect so that they can never discredit you in any way." I said, "Ken, I'd love it." Well, he did. In fact, he helped write the chapters, "Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind," and "If Gull Island Didn't Blow Your Mind, This Will." And after he had done this and the new edition, the updated and enlarged edition came out, he called me on the phone again one day, and he said, "Lindsay, Atlantic Richfield has just hired me back. They've given me a raise. They've sent me to Dallas. I'll be helping the training of the new executives that are going to Prudhoe Bay." And he said, "I have been designated as the go-between, the liaison between you and Atlantic Richfield. If they have something to say to you, I'll call you. If you have something to say to them, you call me." Well, believe you me, it got hot for a while. And we did have a lot of conversations back and forth. But this just shows how the power of the manipulative people of the face of this earth do. And then this is a story I haven't told on any other programs I've been with you, Dr. Stan. But I was on speaking tour, I think it was about 1983, 1984. I was just getting ready to leave Alaska, and Ken Fromm called me on the phone one day, and he said, "Lindsay, would you like a startling fact?" And I said, "Ken, yes, and I know if it comes from you, it's true." He was in Dallas now. He was rubbing shoulders with the biggest, wealthiest, most powerful men on the face of this earth every day, and he said, "Lindsay, the price of a barrel of oil is going from $32 to $12 a barrel." I said, "Ken, come on. That can't happen." I said, "It'll break the Arab world. I mean, they have a society they've created over there." I said, "That couldn't possibly happen." He said, "Well, Lindsay, I'll tell you what you do. You just take my word for it, and if you... Are you going to be
speaking that word?" Hold that right there. And, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Lindsay Williams. And he's just telling us that he'd become very close friends with a man named Ken Fromm. And it was sometime in the early 80s when Ken called Lindsay and told him that the price of oil was going to drop from $32 a barrel down to $12 a barrel. That was, of course, would mean much lower oil prices, gasoline prices, and of course, Lindsay had said, "Why, that can't be true." And so what did Ken say at that point?
Well, at that point, Ken said, I said, "Ken, they couldn't possibly drop prices that rapidly." And he said, "Sure they're going to, Lindsay." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Now, Lindsay, come on. You know that the Arabs don't control the price of oil." And he said, "You know who does this as well as I do." I mean, he gave himself away. He literally said, "Lindsay, you know that there's a group of people who control the price of oil." And I said, "Okay, Ken, you're exactly right. They do this, don't they?" And he said, "Yes." Well, I had a speaking tour that began in Seattle, Washington, wound up 2 or 3 months later in Southern California with speaking engagements nearly every night. And I would say this to my audiences, and at times my audiences literally broke out laughing at me. After it happened, and it literally did, the price of oil went from $32 a barrel to $10 to $12 a barrel, and the price of gold went from $800 an ounce down to about $300 an ounce in a very short period of time, All of it was manipulated by the power controllers of the world, and Ken Fromm knew months in advance that it was going to happen. And he called me on the phone and told me that night. It happened exactly like he said. My phone literally rang off the hook. People thought I was a prophet. And I said, no, I wasn't a prophet at all. All I was doing is saying what was told to me by one of the powerful controllers and manipulative people who know everything that's going on in this world. Now, watch what they did. They told the Arabs when gold went to $800 an ounce and they were making $32 a barrel on oil, they said the power controllers of the world who had built those oil fields over there for the Arabs, who were a bunch of nothing but nomads prior to that, and they said to them, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. Oh, they did. They bought gold by the carload, train carload, at $800 an ounce. Now, when oil went down to $11 and $12 a barrel, and they could not any longer maintain their economy, which they had established, whereby the sheiks and sheikhs ruled and reigned over the people, what did they do? They had no choice but to sell off their gold. Who did they sell it to? They sold it to the same people they bought it from. How much did they buy it for? $800 an ounce. How much did they sell it back to them for after these same people had dropped the price of oil by intentional design plan months in advance? I was told by one of the executives that they were going to do it. And they sold the gold back for $400 an ounce that they had bought for $800 an ounce, and they sold it back to the same people they bought it from, and it was all done by design in advance, months in advance. This shows the mindset of these people. Now, the average American, Dr. Stan, has a very difficult time understanding that there is such a group of despotic people on the face of the earth. Therefore, in my book, Syndrome of Control, which, by the way, people listening to the program tonight, I would like to give you this book as a gift. No, this is not a pamphlet. This is over a 200-page book. And my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, is over a 200-page book. And in just a few moments' time, these full-length books, I'd like to tell you, along with two other of my books, I feel it's so desperate in the economy of America right now with the price of a gallon of gasoline at over $2 a gallon at the gas pump. I feel desperately that I must get this information out. In a few moments, I will tell you how you can get these books. But Syndrome of Control, you must know how these people think in order to be able to combat them. And the average American can't think in those terms because the average American is honest, and most of them are Christian, many of them are Christians. But these people, they are not. They think of nothing but manipulation and control and mind manipulation. And that is why Syndrome of Control is so important, so that you can understand the mindset of these people, how they could have done it to the Arabs, how they're doing it to us today at the gas pump, how they did it to Brazil. All of this is a part of their plan.
And not only that, but what's really so tragic as far as the people of Saudi Arabia, of course you have your fabulously wealthy feudal family over there that runs at about 5,000 princes with their family. But then, of course, you have maybe 20 million people over there, and their income has gone down by two-thirds here. In fact, they were living fairly well a few years ago. I think maybe an average income of $24,000 a year. Now they're making about $6,000 or $8,000 a year. These people are impoverished. They're beginning now to embrace the radical Islamic philosophy. And with that, of course, they're quite willing to die, in the name of Allah. So radical fundamental Islam is coming forward. The Saudi regime is extremely unstable. If that goes down, you could expect $100 a barrel oil. And, of course, think what that'll do to the American economy. But then if you want to impoverish the American people, why, that's exactly what you'd want, isn't it? We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lindsay Williams. And Lindsay, we're going to have to wait a couple of minutes before you tell people about how they can get copies of your book, because a lot of our audience is now listening to some of the commercials that are being played on our network across the country. So, well, let's get back, of course, to this concept that there really are people who run the world, who control the wealth of the world, who control the oil of the world, who control governments, and, of course, create wars and revolutions. I think it's so difficult for people to understand that there really are evil people in the world. Wouldn't you agree that that what motivates these people many times is this power, but even behind that is this force of darkness, of evil that they manifest?
Oh, positively. It's all satanic to the core, and of course being controlled by such a power as that, their minds are despotic. They do not think in the same terms that you and I as Christian people would think, or as the average American who is living in a free society would think. There's no way that I could have ever understood the mindset of these people had I not been there with them, lived with them, or around them for 3 years. If someone had said there's such a group of people on the face of the earth back when I had been a Baptist minister for 15 to 20 years, I would have laughed at them. Today, I know it's so. I was there. And all of my books are fact. Not one of them is fiction. All of them are fact. And Syndrome of Control, there are real-life things there. Letters from bankers, the words from Congressman George Hansen, exactly as he lived it prior to them putting him in jail and finally destroying him. All of this is a matter of fact. And so, yes, these people do exist. They literally are here today. They have meetings. Oftentimes you hear of their meetings. Our own president sometimes attends their meetings, because he likewise is under the control of these people, as are our congressmen. And as you've mentioned about Congressman George Hansen, some of our congressmen are literally in fear for their jobs and for their lives. In fact, the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, is written by Senator Hugh Chance. He was a senator of the state of Colorado, a very personal friend of mine prior to me ever going to the pipeline. And after I went up there, he said, Lindsay, I'd like to come up and spend a week with you. He did. Spent a week on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, wrote the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, which gives it great credibility. And when he was on the pipeline, he was toured and given all the information he wanted. He was never withheld one thing from him. And I remember that day after day, for one solid week, he saw everything.
Lindsay, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to bring our stations online here. And then, of course, we'll want to tell the rest of the story of Senator Hugh Chance. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Lindsay is telling about a senator from the state of Colorado named Hugh Chance. He was a state senator who had come up on the pipeline and spent some time there with Lindsay. And then after seeing everything up there and realizing, of course, that there's massive amounts of oil up there, but they're not telling you about that, and you're not going to hear this from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. The last thing they want you to know is that everything is manipulated, and that, of course, they're using this oil crisis for their own advantage. And I really believe, of course, can you imagine what's going to happen when gasoline is $5 a gallon? Can you imagine what's going to happen when the price of natural gas doubles again, and when the price of electricity continues going up? And, of course, this is all happening intentionally. How do we know that? Because we've read the plan. It came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992, the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. You can buy it at your local bookstore, Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, or you can, of course, get the summary of it in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. But the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report's about $65 from your bookstore. It's 1,142 pages. It will take you 3 or 4 months to read, or you can get the summary, which our producer, the woman who's on the telephone tonight, actually did that summary for. It took her 3 months, but she did a magnificent job of summarizing what this is all about. And what they want to do is get you out of your cars, or they want you to get you out of your house. They want to make it a point where you won't be able to use your air conditioning because it'll be too expensive. They want to lower your living standards, and as it says in the book, if we're going to have all these 6 billion people on the earth, we're going to have to lower the living standards of that of the people of Eastern Europe, which, of course, is a very low living standards. The people there have been impoverished. I mean, the average income is something like $50 a month, maybe a 75 at the most. I mean, of course, it's not going to be for the elite. Believe me, the elite are always going to have their five-star hotels. They're always going to have their jets. They're always going to have their cars. But they'd like to get you out of your car and lower your living standards and redistribute your wealth. And that's what this is really all about. But they're not going to tell you that, In fact, you're not going to hear that very many places. If I could suggest you either get the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report or the Sustainable Development Syllabus from Radio Liberty. And, of course, we have a great new video on sustainable development. It'll be available in a couple of weeks. But right now, of course, we're talking about Senator Hugh Chance, and he had actually come up, he'd seen what was going on. He realized there was abundant oil. America could be energy independent. It was just a matter of getting the oil out of the ground and then building the pipelines. But that was back in the 70s. They could have built the pipelines then, and we would have had it. But you see, they didn't want a solution because they wanted to come up. They wanted the problem because they wanted their solution, not the one that would be better for the American people. So pick up the story from there, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, I had actually heard them speak of a 30-year plan. They knew in advance exactly what they were going to do. Well, the story of Senator Hugh Chance is quite interesting because, being a friend of mine prior to me going to the pipeline, he came up, spent 1 week with me, was allowed to meet with all of the top executives of the companies that were there at the time, saw everything at the oil field, and after it was all over with, he just kind of shook his head, and I'll never forget the day before he left. He said, "Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard today." Now, this is what he states in the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, which he wrote. He was a state senator for the state of Colorado. And he said, "Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard here this week." And I said, "Senator Chance, what do you mean?" He said, "I was sitting in the Senate of the state of Colorado when the men came from Washington, D.C. to brief us as state senators as to the severity of the energy crisis."
Now, what was this about? Was this about 73, 74, or something like that?
74,
okay.
And he said, "Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Nellie, everything that I was told by those men from Washington, D.C. who came to brief us was the exact opposite to what the truth really is." He said, "We were told one thing. I have seen another thing as it's been given to me by these executives of the oil companies themselves." He said, "I was intentionally misbriefed and lied to as a senator sitting in the Senate of the state of Colorado by the men who came from Washington, D.C. to brief us as state senators." Now, they're still doing the same things today. You say, "Well, why don't our congressmen open up all of that oil up there instead of talking about the strategic oil reserves and all of these other things, taking it out of the salt domes and all that sort of thing?" Why? Because the congressmen are intentionally misbriefed. Oftentimes, they do not even know the truth. That's what Senator Hugh Chance states in the foreword to my book. Now, there are many facets to this control factor, and that's the reason that I have produced numerous videos. For instance, let's take one just slightly away from the oil crisis, for instance, for a moment. Let's take the subject of vaccinations. You say, "Well, is that a part of a control factor?" You better believe it is. Listen to Dr. Dennis Turnbull, who had studied cancer for 30 years. He said, "I have no hesitation in stating, in my judgment, that the most frequent disposing condition of cancerous development is infused into the blood by vaccination and revaccination." Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana says, "Cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced. I have had to deal with at least 200 cases of cancer, and I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person." Yes, vaccinations, as much as the American people may say, "Well, what does it have to do with it?" It is a part of their control factor. Again, deadly diseases, the new microbial mutations, the overuse of antibiotics. You say, "Is all of this a part of it?" Get my one-hour video tape on deadly new diseases, and it will startle you. The American farmer, what's happening to them? Oh, yes, the family farm is disappearing fast. Why? It's all a part of their design plan to have big corporate farms and to do away with the little person out there. Therefore, a Hollywood studio came to me one day, and they said, "Lindsay, we'd like to produce a video on the family farm and what's happening. You can never tell who produced it for you." They wrote their own musical score, went all over America, did the most professional video you've ever seen, handed me a master copy and said, "Don't you ever tell who did this for you, but get it out to everyone you can." It is a masterful story, done in Hollywood style, torn from the land as a videotape. I have then my videotape, Energy Non-Crisis. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I have four books, The Energy Non-Crisis, my book Syndrome of Control, which we've dealt with tonight, a full-length book entitled To Seduce a Nation, another full-length book that is a large book, big library-sized book, 263 pages entitled You Can Live, If you went to the store and bought these, you'd pay over $35 just for the books alone. I feel such an urgency because of what's happening in America today. I would like to give you as a gift all four of these books when you purchase any one of my videotapes. Now, buy all four videotapes, and you'll get four sets of books. You can give them out to others. And someone asked me the other day, are your videotapes copywritten? No, they aren't. Copy that videotape. Use it. Just don't sell it, please. That wouldn't be right. But you copy my videotapes, give them to everybody you can, give out all four sets of those books if you can get all four videotapes. The tapes are only $25 each, plus shipping and handling. And I'd like to give you a set of all four of my books as a gift with every videotape that you get so that you can, someone said the other day, what can we do? I said, number one, you must document the facts. You must know what you're talking about. Well, you can do that with my four books. Secondly, prepare. Once you realize what's happening to you, you will want to take action against the power controllers of this world. And all you need to do is just call this number. There'll be operators standing by yet even tonight. Please call 800-321-2900. That's 800-321-2900. Let me give you all four of my books as a gift with any and all of the videotapes that you get.
Well, I think that's great. And we were going to get me a copy of that, Torn from the Land. I thought we might do a series of programs on that.
Yes, Dr. Stan, that videotape is on its way. You should receive it any day. And if there's ever a story that is heartbreaking, it's what's happening to the American family farmer. They're being destroyed, and it is all done again by a design plan of the very people who are charging you over $2 a gallon at the gas pump for your gasoline.
Well, I think we may look back on the $2 or $2.50 a gallon gasoline as the good old days, because everything suggests we're moving into uncertain times in the Middle East with the Saudis over there, and then, of course, in Venezuela, which is where we get about 5% of our oil. Why? Because this is a very unstable area with the agitation against Chavez, who is the Marxist dictator, but he was elected. He was legitimately elected. Apparently, the power structure down there is intent upon getting rid of him, and whether he will have a fair election, and if he loses, if he'll transfer power. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But certainly, Venezuela's cut back significantly on the oil production, and it may very well be that if there's a stable government, the oil production will come back. Or if the place goes into chaos, it will be reflected at our gas pumps here in the United States. So the problem is they have effectively blocked oil drilling here in the United States, drilling for gas, natural gas in the United States. They have effectively blocked, in many instances, the use of coal. We have plenty of coal, which can be burned absolutely with almost no emissions. But the biggest thing is they've effectively blocked the development of nuclear power. Every place else in the world, in France, in Europe, they predominantly get their power from nuclear power plants. Oh, we can't have nuclear power plants. We don't know what to do with the spent fuel rods. They will tell us over and over again. Well, what does everybody else in the world do with them? Why, they reprocess them. They reprocess them, and they can get the nuclear power out of it, and there's not the residual, very, very little residual. They say from a major nuclear power plant for a year, when you get all done, you'll have something about the size of a card table. That would be all that you would have. It would be very easy to store. They don't want a solution. They want the problem, and they have effectively blocked the reprocessing here, because they do not want this, and they have lied to the American people. The average individual has no idea you can reprocess those rods. They will never tell you that, because they want you to believe that it's just too expensive, and it's not expensive at all. It's very, very cheap. The reason it's expensive is because the environmentalists, funded in many cases by the great oil corporations and by the great banks and by the media and by the foundations, the environmental movement has blocked the development of nuclear power, so we would continue to be dependent upon oil and natural gas. What a great scam it is, and the average American has no idea that this is all planned by our invisible rulers. Well, Lindsay, of course, you've gone all over the United States talking about this and talking about your book, Syndrome of control, which is the story of the elite that rules the world. That's a pretty hard thing for the average individual to believe, at least here in the United States. And yet I believe that throughout the rest of the world, most people really understand what's going on. It's just the people here in the United States who never have access to this information, or anybody who talks like this is immediately put into the category, oh, he probably believes in black helicopters, and he probably believes there was a conspiracy behind the murder of John Kennedy, you know. And they say it in such a demeaning manner. That's what of course, Rush Limbaugh has paid so much to do, is to demean anybody who talks about the fact that there is a power elite, because he works with a power elite. He makes an awful lot of money. He's one of the finest talk show hosts that money can buy. So, Lindsay, what sort of response do you get today as you begin to try to get this message out about the control, about the phony energy crisis? Have you been getting calls from other stations or networks to get the message out?
Dr. Stan, this is one of the hottest subjects right now that I have seen in years. The American people are beginning to wake up merely because of the price of that gallon of gasoline at the gas pump. But, you know, if someone had said this to me years ago, I would have had trouble believing it also. So don't feel bad if somehow in the back of your mind you say, I wonder if this guy is really for real. Now, when you get my book, Syndrome of Control, and then when you see that the foreword to my book, Energy and On Crisis, is written by a state senator, and when you hear what is here, yes, it positively is for real. I know. I rubbed shoulders with them. I was there. I sat in their board meetings. I lived in the dorms where they did for 3 years. I know positively that there are a group of people on the face of the earth who are controlling the world, and if you and I think that we're paying a price for gasoline today at over $2 a gallon, you haven't seen anything yet. Mm-hmm. In my estimation, I believe that we could easily go to $3 to $4 a gallon. All it would take is one oil refinery to have some sort of sabotage, an oil pipeline to give a problem, Saudi Arabia to have another major problem, the Middle East to erupt, which it's about ready to. Be prepared, people. You definitely are headed for some times that are unusual, and unless you know the issues and the fact and can prove them, please let me give you a copy of all four of my books. Just call 800-321-2900, and with any of my videotapes, all four of them, all one of them, I'd like to give you an entire set of my books. 800-321-2900. It is for real, and what Dr. Stan is saying on his programs is true. I know. I was there.
Well, I think it is certainly one of the most incredible stories in the world. And for our listeners out there who didn't hear earlier, I tracked down one of the gentlemen that Lindsay has talked about and talked to him, and he confirmed exactly what Lindsay has said about this great pool of oil up there off the North Slope. But you're not going to hear about that. You don't want to know there's a solution, because they don't want you to know there's a solution. That's how they can control you. And the problem we have is we do not have the free flow of information in this country. Yes, we do have the alternative media. Yes, we do have the internet now. But you have to be so careful, because the other side uses this as well. They have their so-called conservative talk show hosts. They have their websites up on the internet that are going to give you all sorts of false information. And the one thing you're going to have to learn is who you can trust. And believe me, there are not that many people out there. There's some that I believe are really very honest and straightforward and do their homework. But there are many, I believe, that are probably getting a regular government check for doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and that is put out disinformation to discredit those of us who are trying to get out the truth. Well, Lindsay, we've just got about 3 or 4 minutes here, and incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And but Lindsay, is there anything additional you'd like to have? We got about 4 or 5 minutes before we have to let you go.
Well, I would urge the listening audience to be prepared. There are some definite things that you need to do. Be ready for the increase of this price of a gallon of gasoline, because it could at any moment go up again. Know the issues about the mindset of these people and what they're doing. And then when you know all of this, then you can make your own master plan as to what you can do. But without knowing the mindset of these people, it is impossible to prepare for your own life. So So thank you for allowing me the privilege to give you a book. When you get any one of my videotapes, it will help you to prepare your lifestyle.
Well, I think that people are going to have to get out of debt. They're going to have to, you know, begin looking and seeing what will happen as we go into, I think, a temporary inflationary spiral, and then probably a few years from that, why a deflationary spiral. We live in very uncertain terms. My major concern is that they're going to wipe out the middle class in this country and create increasing social discord, economic discord, and really, it's going to be such a terrible tragedy that people have put their whole life savings, you know, into various investments. That's just not going to hold up. If they are tied into some sort of monetary increment, like an annuity, like CDs, insurance plans are going to give you some sort of an income, I very much fear that the things we put our confidence in the past are going to cease to be valid, because I believe we're moving into a very new and very difficult and very different times. Well, Lindsay, I'll give you about 2 minutes here to wrap up this evening's program.
Well, Dr. Stan, I am so excited about talk show hosts like you who are willing to speak out and give forth the truth. And I would say to our listening audience, listen to him. And congratulations for the amazing job you're doing. And together, we will help the American people to wake up. You know, there's one wonderful thing about all of this, and that is there's more of us than there are of them. And if we can ever see enough Americans wake up, and they are, you asked a moment ago, are you seeing people become interested positively? Are you seeing radio talk show hosts? Oh, my goodness. I would almost guarantee that I was back in the early 80s again in the day and time when I was doing sometimes two and three radio talk shows a day. And the other day, there were two talk shows in one day. Why? The American people's pocketbook's beginning to hurt. And as people oftentimes say, if you want to get a person's attention, get it through their pocketbook. And that's exactly what's happening. What used to cost $15 to $20 to fill up that gas tank is costing $30 and $40 now to do it.
All right, we've got Dale on the line, probably only got a minute. Dale, quick question.
Very quick question. I was wondering, essentially, if the World Bankers are doing the same thing to the American people with lowering the interest rates, essentially making people a fool for not refinancing for another 30 years. Are they doing the same thing as they did with Brazil? I'll take your answer off the air.
Yes, you're exactly right. It's one of the biggest traps in the world, and especially if you have a variable rate house mortgage. These people have taken the interest rate to where it is, and then when they collapse the economy and the money, that's what they did to oil prices. And then the Arabs had to sell that gold back that they bought for $800 an ounce. They had to sell it back to $400 an ounce. The American people have fallen for the trap. And now they're stuck with these houses of 30-year mortgages, and what's going to happen when the economy goes down and they have everything, mortgage to the hilt and credit cards to the hilt? Yes, the identical same trap is happening to the American that happened over there, that happened to Brazil, that happened to the Arabs, and we have fallen for it, and God have mercy on us.
Amen. Well, thanks very much for being with us, Lindsay. It's always a pleasure, and until next time, I think we have you on again here real soon. My good night, and may the Lord be with you.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Lindsay Williams, and we'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent on those of you who believe in what we do. To help us, if you believe that there's a problem, if you believe that we're a voice, we have about 60 outlets of one sort or another every single week. And whether that would be shortwave or regular radio stations, or whether it would be internet, or whether it would be satellite, at least we have the opportunity to reach people. And of course, if you want to be part of our team, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to learn how they control the American people. Now, we have a four-tape set on mind control. Of course, there are other more sophisticated forms of mind control that the CIA has been experimenting on in a long period of time. And if you've never, of course, read the book, The Transformation of America, it's the terrible story. It really is a terrible story. And I wish that we didn't even have to offer it. But I think it's important you realize the degree of evil that exists within the upper echelons of our government. It's the story of a girl who was sold into slavery to the CIA for and to be experimented on. Now, if you read the book, The Transformation of America, you're going to say, could this really be true? Well, we have another book written by a psychiatrist, Dr. Colin Ross, called Operation Bluebird. Operation Bluebird was, like so many of the other CIA functions, you know, the Operation Naomi and Operation Artichoke, Operation MK Ultra, and these were all various forms of mind control, as the CIA wanted to find out how they could control the minds of individuals and masses. And they've been working along with the Tavistock Institute over in Great Britain for many years, and today they know how to condition the minds of the American people, how to turn us off and turn us on, to make us fearful, to make us angry, to make us emotional, and of course how they will get us to make irrational decisions and to believe things that just aren't true. So I suggest the books, The Transformation of America, Operation Bluebird. We actually have from the Senate of the United States at least copies of their report on the MK Ultra. The CIA tried to shred all the copies. The last thing they wanted for the American people to know was what was really going on with their mind control experiments on helpless individuals. Some of them they killed. But you can actually, we have that available and we actually have something else called the Rockefeller Committee Report, which came out over the name of Senator Jay Rockefeller. And this was a report on all the experiments they'd done, not only on American servicemen without their knowledge, but on the American citizenry without their knowledge. Hundreds of thousands of people experimented on here in America. And this report came out. The U.S. Publishing Office only printed 35 copies for the entire country, and when I talked to the man in charge, he said, well, they were just so expensive to print, and that's why we didn't print a lot of them. Well, we bought 25 of them, and of course now we simply print it up here. The Rockefeller Report is something you need to read. It goes into the Gulf War syndrome, the fact that 40% of the wives of the sick Gulf War veterans themselves are sick, because about 40% of the Gulf War veterans have an infectious disease we brought home, and we call it chronic fatigue. Of course, chronic fatigue existed long before the Gulf War, but it is an infectious disease, and they know that. They just don't want the American people to realize that it's the product of another one of their macabre experiments. So let me suggest the Rockefeller Committee Report. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs there, 5 hours a day on the Internet. And, of course, we are 4 hours a day on shortwave. Help tell other people about our programs. Encourage them to listen and join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived on Christian principles can long endure. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again. This is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you, and reminding you one more time the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war. America is under attack today.